Welcome to another week of free basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows. We're still, Cody and I took off last week because of illness, more so probably on my end, illness related, but Cody now is still mine fighting a little illness. Something. What?
I said mine was mental illness.
Oh. So you, as you can hear, still got a little something in the voice. So if I cough a lot, I apologize. I'll try not to. But so we are over here fighting to bring you an episode
fighting for our lives.
An episode that usually we're really, really into because we think, you know, something interesting could happen. It could be a lot of fun, but I just think we don't care about this one. Not to say we don't care about basketball, but this trade deadline, which I believe is today at 3 p.m. Central Time for us locals. And I just don't, like, I don't get the sense that there's, I don't think, yeah, everybody's watching, got Woj on alert, and waiting for something massive to happen. But I just don't think anything massive is going to happen. So I could be wrong with that. I know there were talks, you know, about DeJounte Murray, talks with the New Orleans Pelicans, but that stalled pretty quickly. Are the Lakers going to do something? Are the Warriors going to do something? Are they going to trade Wiggins? Like, it's always a time where everybody has a rumor about something and none of it is true. But the one thing that is true, which we'll talk about more towards the end, is the Grizzlies traded one Xavier Tillman away for a couple seconds. And I think a lot of this died for me.
No, they traded him away permanently. It wasn't just for a few seconds.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It wasn't just for a few seconds. It was for a few second round picks. But I think this, my interest kind of died in the trade deadline when the rumor came out that the Grizzlies were engaged with interest to trade for Killian Hayes. And I was like, okay, I'm dead. I know, you know, we'll talk about more about the end. I know they're probably just going to release the guy at the end of the year, but, my trade deadline excitement died with Killian Hayes potentially being on our team, even if it's just for a few months. So Cody, do you have any trade deadline thoughts? Is it going to be boring or are you the excited one or you're just kind of like,
It's not super exciting.
You're just kind of ready to get past it.
I do always like the last hour of it. I think that's always interesting because that's when you get to that's when all of the inconsequential kind of trades are just listed out, you can just look at a timeline and it starts to be some of the stuff happens, it's just like 10 minutes apart. I do kind of like that part of it, like just being able to like look at that list and everything as it gets closer and closer. And like, cause I don't know, the trade deadline to me is always kind of like a soccer game where you think something's going to happen the whole time and then it doesn't. And then when something finally does happen, it is really exciting, but it's not necessarily about something happening. That's the best part of it. It's the potential of something happening. That's the best part of it. So
yeah, and it's always the 88th minute. It's all or extra time, and then it's like it's a couple seconds for you know whoever you can think of. You know,
yeah, it's always something that's like it's always like Mark. You know, it's a Morris brother that gets traded. Which interestingly enough, right before we started doing this, the 76ers get Buddy Hield from the Pacers in exchange for Marcus Morris, Furkan Korkmaz, and 3 second round picks.
Oh, so a little bit of life. A little bit of life
right before
on the
we started.
Deadline.
We're both lamenting the trade deadline and things happen.
Buddy Hield. What a flip. Championship confirmed for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Put it in your books. Mark it down. Take that to the casino.
That will be the thing that we'll talk about. The trade
Bring
that was made.
Bring your mortgage with you.
I mean, the Lakers have been heavily involved in this, right? Or maybe they haven't actually been involved in anything. Everyone wants them to be involved in everything. But the only thing they've really had to trade is like D'Angelo Russell. And it's like, what teams are going to give up valuable things for D'Angelo Russell? And obviously they're not going to part way with Austin Reeves, I don't think. But like Austin Reeves is probably their best asset, unless you're counting LeBron and AD. I mean, there's no way. Like the talk for the past couple of days, a week or so, was, would it be in the Lakers' best interest to just trade LeBron? And the Lakers are never doing that.
No.
Like, why in the world would they ever trade LeBron? He chose them. We get the age, but they're about selling tickets, right? And you'd rather have a team with LeBron, even if LeBron's 55, if he's still playing. You'd rather have LeBron on your team than trading him because it makes, quote unquote, you know, more sense for your roster going forward. So was that kind of talk that you heard, you know, surrounding LeBron, surrounding other stars, is that just always the most ridiculous thing that we get during this time?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that stuff is always there to, like, fill airtime and stuff like that. Like, that's people just trying to, like, that's daily talk shows and, you know, radio shows and stuff like that. Like, I just think that like some of that stuff is just like, it is just what it is. Like, it's conjecture and just like, you know, it's the stuff that you know you talk about with your friends. Like, wouldn't it be crazy if
LeBron went to the 76ers, you know?
Like, wouldn't it be nuts if it was LeBron and Joel Embiid and then Tyrese Maxey was a Laker or whatever, or, you know?
Yeah. A team that, you know, has been talked about a lot because they're struggling. They're out of the play-in. The Golden State Warriors. Is this a situation where you think the Warriors should and will do something minor to the deadline, or does it matter for them? Does it truly matter? Now, we've heard Clay's washed. You got to trade Clay. Like, but who's going to trade for him?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But does it matter for them realistically?
No, I don't. Like, they won, like, what, four championships with those guys?
Yeah. I mean, they've been linked to Kelly Olynyk from the Jazz.
Right.
And it's just like that kind of move. Does it move the needle?
Is that needle moving?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like,
I like Kelly Olynyk.
They're the oldest team in the NBA, right? What team is older than them?
Probably. You know, I haven't looked that up. I haven't seen who the oldest team in the NBA is. You got to feel like the 76ers are there. Them.
No way.
With all those old guys like Nick Batum, well, they don't have the Morris brother anymore, but.
No way. Chris Paul? Steph?
Good point.
Clay? Yeah. Draymond?
Yeah, it's got to be them.
It's got to be them, or it could be. I mean, I guess you could talk me into the Clippers.
Clippers are probably up there. Yep. Those are probably the oldest teams. Like Lakers, Clippers, Warriors.
I wonder what the average age of like NBA teams that have won the title are year to year. I think that would be interesting.
I think it's close to 30, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is around 30. Sweet spot for NBA title. Average age 30 years old for your NBA team. So that's what you should learn.
Well, let's talk about the Grizzlies one. The Grizzlies obviously were flirting with the second apron, and we've said it in the past. I know it's probably been a long time ago, but they claimed that they were willing to go into the luxury tax. And, you know, this is kind of a moment where it's going to be like, okay, is that true or not? And they have been doing everything they can to not only avoid the separate apron, but try to get it out of it altogether for this year and hopefully going into next, so they can have a little more flexibility. So they're just taking on a bunch of second round picks. Now they traded Xavier Tillman. We'll get back to the luxury tax of it. But Xavier Tillman, yes, got your hand raised.
I have breaking news.
More breaking news.
This might make something we just said about the Warriors not matter. The Toronto Raptors have acquired center Kelly Olynyk and guard Oche Agbaji from the Utah Jazz, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, in exchange for Otto Porter Jr., Kira Lewis, in a 2024 first-round pick.
The Raptors gave up a first-round pick for Kelly Olynyk and Oche Agbaji.
And Otto Porter Jr. and Kira Lewis, yeah.
Wow. But not wow. Like, what? Who cares? Right. Like, come on, Raptors. Like, what are we doing? Raptors forming a play-in team now?
Yes. Yes.
Come on.
That's exactly what they're doing.
But no, Xavier Tillman. Were you sad to hear the news of Xavier Tillman being gone? Now he's part of the Boston Celtics, finding himself a ring.
Good for him, but
I know he has an expiring contract. Obviously, the Grizzlies didn't want to. I guess we shouldn't say they didn't want to pay him, but I guess maybe the idea of trying to work out a salary with him and the cap reality that they're working with heading into next year, it just made more sense for them to get a little bit more flexibility around the edges and send him to a championship contender, right? They did him. They probably could have made this move with a lot of other teams, but it kind of feels like they did a service for Xavier Tillman for what he's meant to the franchise for the past couple years. I mean, stepping in last year in their first round series against the Lakers and doing well defensively and somewhat okay offensively against the Lakers. But now he gets to go potentially be not a crucial contributor, but like what he was for the Grizzlies, the break glass in case of emergency thing for the Celtics if they need it, and help them, you know, maybe not swing a series, but if they were trouble with injuries to Porzingis or Horford or something like that, Xavier Tillman is more than, you know, of the right word that I'm looking for, but more than qualified to step in for the Celtics and help them out. So do you think it's just like it worked out for both sides? You hate to see Xavier go, but at least you get to see him be on a team that is a favorite to win the NBA championship.
That's true. I think that's how to look at it. That's the way to look at it. And, you know, he has a chance to be the Celtics, like, rich man's Leon Poe.
Oh.
If you remember from, you know, the 2008 finals.
Yeah.
He went coast to coast one time on the Lakers, and it's a graphic that I'll never forget. It got talked about for months. He got a rebound and drove all the way down, and that was that.
So Xavier Tillman, you think, is going to have a moment with the Celtics in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Probably not from three. We've seen enough.
Probably not. But they'll build a statue of him in Boston. Put that down. Mark it down.
Corner three after corner three going to the Celtics, and then he just starts making corner threes. Would be hilarious.
Just turns into James Posey.
Yes, immediately turns into like reincarnated Eddie House in a beer body that's less annoying. I hated Eddie
James
House.
Posey.
Just James Posey. We like James Posey here.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with him.
I thought about talking about All-Star, but honestly, like, I just don't care.
Like, it's comical. This is like a problem. Doc Rivers was...
And I was telling...
Named the coach.
Like, yeah.
What the fuck?
It is. It's just like he coached, what, two games? And they're like, hey, Steph's leading the Eastern Conference.
What a joke.
Maybe that's what we should talk about, is the Doc Rivers thing. like that higher for the Bucks. We have not been on since, or I don't think we've been on since they fired their head coach.
Yeah, we texted about it a little
what
bit,
do you think?
so.
What do you think about the whole situation with Adrian Griffith? I mean, or Griffin?
Depends, yeah. Adrian Griffith was Andy Griffith's brother. He was a sheriff two towns over.
I
In
thought about
Bayberry.
I thought about our old lunch lady, Griffith.
Her name was Griffin too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Excuse me. What do you think about that whole situation with AJ Griffin? I mean, there was a lot of stuff start. I don't think we've seen there. There'll be more and more coming out, I think. But this situation where AJ Griffin is just like a no nonsense
AJ
coach.
Griffin?
Gosh, I'm just messing him up.
This segment
Adrian.
is brought to you by Ryan's bad memory.
Adrian was their coach, their former coach, came in with like a hard line, it seemed like, and was just like, it's my way or the highway, which pissed Giannis off, obviously upset Dame. They notoriously, you know, had the assistant coach leave before the season. So it was just a first-time coach who thought, I've got to imprint my identity on this team. And, you know, maybe he's probably not a bad guy, right? Like, he's not dumb. He's obviously smart enough to get the job. But he took this hard line with a team that was, you know, already formed, have been playing together for years, and wanted to do something different to shake it up, and seemed to be unwilling to listen to the players. And now he's out of a job. Like, was it just lost the locker room that quickly? Or is it
I mean, like,
that the stuff
I feel
he
like
was
if
saying
you're
was validated, but the players just didn't want to listen? So they're still going to lose regardless. But, like, what's, I don't know.
Well,
Do you...
I think the job of a coach is like, if you, okay, so you have the team, right? Regardless of what your philosophy is. And this is, like, I think the issue that this is what I think a lot of coaches have issues with. The team that you have is the team that you have until there are some trades made, right? So, you know,
right,
going into the season that you're pretty much set with what you have. You're going to, some things are going to change here and there, but it's not, that's going to be due to injury, and those are going to be obstacles you're going to have to overcome, you know, in whatever situation you're in. But as a coach, whatever your philosophy is, your job is to get your players to buy into it, right? You have to get your players to want to do the thing that you want them to do, whether that's through, you know, them being afraid of you, Bobby Knight style, which doesn't really work anymore, or by appealing to their other sensibilities, like, I don't know, a different coach that's good. Eric Spoelstra, for example, Greg Popovich. Some people might even mention Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson wouldn't yell at you about stuff and things like that. I mean, I'm sure he would. But Phil Jackson would, like, give you a book to read that would, like, be, like, he would, like, it w that would make you think about the thing that he was irritated with you about or wanted you to change. You need to pass more.
Yeah.
Here's Little Women.
Yeah.
Like, you know? I don't know. It, like, obviously, like, that's not the whatever, but, like, but you have to, but, like, the point I'm making is, like, you have to find interesting ways to get your players to think about things. Like, sometimes you can't just look at a person and say, like, you can say, like, hey, so when you're playing basketball, you need to box out and rebound. But, like, and you can say that over and over and over again. But if somebody doesn't understand why or care why they need to do that, then it might not matter to them at all. But, like, maybe you find a way to, like, you show them, like, I don't know, some, maybe you relate it to football or something like that. And, like, they really like watching football. And so you're like, oh, well, you know, look at this. When the left tackle doesn't do what they're supposed to, look at what happens to Joe Theismann here. So, like, and then, like, oh, they're like, oh, yeah. So, like, if I box out and, you know, whatever, however the, like, connection is made, the connection is made. But, like, you have to figure out a way to do that. And just telling people that, like, fuck off and do this isn't always the right one. So if I think that, like, more than anything, it's not your system that's wrong. Your system might be right, and you could be like, and you can be validated by what by people playing your system and like, look, it works. Look at these awesome the best basketball players in the world can make this, you know, professional level system of basketball that I've come up with and like work. Crazy. You know, that's insane. But like there's, you know, those guys are so good at basketball that like they understand what you're telling them, like, you know, X's and O's at such a high level because they're, you know, they are who they are and they played so much basketball. They understand all that stuff. But the real like goal of a coach and like the thing that like I think that, you know, everybody jokes about heat culture and stuff like that, but like that's what you want people to buy into is the culture of like you want them to buy what you're selling.
Yeah.
Because like your job as the coach is to put your team in the best position you can to win. Well, if your team doesn't want to fucking listen to you, you're not going to be able to put them in position to do anything. So the first step is to develop relationships and stuff like that and make it where your team likes you. And I don't think that's something that like overnight is just like sour. I think that's something that like over time, either you're not paying attention and you're doing like little things that are like chipping away at that relationship, that good relationship that you have with the team, and you just don't see it happening, or you're like you're antagonizing them because you're frustrated with things and you don't understand how to communicate how to change that in a healthy way or a way that is conducive to that team, to that, you know, player connecting and hearing what you have to say. Because the first step is you have to like get the people, like you have to get on the level with the person you want to change their behavior or do what you want them to do. And you have to find a way to motivate them to do that. Like a coach's job is motivation, one word.
Yeah. It's got your plan and your imprint and your X's and O's, but if you're unable to sell it, and the two coach case right here between, you know, Adrian Griffin and like Monty Williams, to say, like Monty Williams is on a team where they're complete duds and they're really, really young. Even if the young guys hate Monty Williams, like regardless of what they do or say, like he's probably going to stay.
Yeah.
Like he's probably going to be in that job. Mm-hmm. Adrian Griffin is with a bunch of guys who have won a title. Like Brooke Lopez is like 33. Giannis is about to be 30. Like Dame is in his 30s. These are all guys that are set in their ways. Like they've won in a particular way for the last 5 years of their career. Now here comes a first year head guy. Even though he's been on their staff, they all know him. But all of a sudden he's taking this hard line. Well, if y'all want to do this, you've got to switch this. And it's like, no, like we're okay in what we've been doing. Try to find something else. And it was just like an unwillingness on both sides, where it just seemed like the relationship, or it wasn't even a relationship to start, it feels like, and it just completely fell apart.
Right.
So it's
well,
just,
then you get somebody like Doc in there who's been a player, who's been a coach. He's like, I mean, he's been around the league forever. So like, I think that like immediately puts him on a level with those players, like where they know him, they respect him, they've seen, you know, I don't know. I just feel like you know, he's won an NBA title as a coach.
Yeah.
Not that he's had much playoff success recently, but like, you know, but I think that like he's a player's coach, I think.
I think that's the idea of him, to kind of salvage this. But I also think the kind of idea of him, of Doc coming in, was just like, dude, just don't rock the boat.
Oh, like, yeah. No, for sure. He's not going to. But I also think that he is like,
he's there to cash a check. Like, that is why Doc Rivers is there. Like, Doc Rivers is of the age where he does not care what you think about him. And are they likely going to fail? Yes. Because, like, it doesn't matter about Doc Rivers coaching. It's about the players and what they have. And just besides that one time where they made that run where they got a lot of good breaks, they have had zero playoff success. And now all of a sudden we think that's going to happen with an old Dame who can't defend. Like, they don't have any moves to do. They're not going to get better. So I think it's just really kind crackly. Of like a – oh, sorry.
You're good. You don't have to apologize to me. I'm just telling you.
But it's just like a Doc Rivers, just don't come in here and try to do it. Like, we know what we're doing, just kind of sit over there on the side. So I think Doc Rivers is not dumb. Like, he's in there to make money. And he doesn't care what anybody's going to say about him, but he's just like, it's basically a player's team, is what it is. Like, Doc Rivers is not going to have a real input that they're going to be like, okay, thanks, Doc. That really helps us. Like, the Bucks are just, to me, they're done. And they might win a playoff series or two. Heck, they might even make the finals. But to me, this team is not winning. I just think it's like, it's just not going to happen for this team. And that's kind of where I've landed. And it has nothing to do with the Griffin situation, hiring Doc. I just think there is a sense within that building that we're the players, like, we're going to do what we want to do, even if it's maybe not necessarily the best thing for us. We're going to do what we want to do. And unwilling to adjust or listen to anything is going to hurt them when it comes down to the playoffs. And so they're naturally kind of a weaker team anyways for what they are. So I just think this is going to end poorly for the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know. Do you feel the same way about the Bucks?
Yeah, I feel like until they like do something of substance in the playoffs, like I'm not that worried about what they're doing. They're a regular
Yeah.
season team.
Yeah, regular season team. I don't think we need to talk about anything else. I think this can be a shorter one since it's a trade deadline thing. We can get off here with everything popping off with Woj, which, probably is not very much, but it's going to be a bunch of little names that are like, oh, hey, like we just said, Kelly Olynyk and Buddy Hield. Like, we're not getting a Zion Williamson to the, to the Charlotte Hornets or something like that. Like, that's probably not going to happen. Do you have anything else you want to touch on before we go?
No. I
Just
think
go cough
that's pretty
into
much it.
oblivion. Go cough into oblivion in our room silently to ourselves
Yep,
so
indeed.
no one can hear us.
Yep, try not to cry.
But thank y'all for tuning in for this week. I know we missed last week, so this is a shorter episode. We're just trying to get through it. All still trying to get over illnesses. So we'll be back next week. Maybe we'll have some interesting trade deadline news. We got, plenty of time before it. We recorded this Thursday morning, so there's probably a 5 to 6 hour window before trade deadline actually ends today. So maybe, fingers crossed, we'll get something interesting. Hopefully for us Grizz fans, we don't really get anything. I mean, it kind of seems like we're going to get Killian Hayes, but we're probably just going to release him in the summer to kind of make wiggle room. So that was kind of the expectation for the Grizzlies, because they're not going to be that they were trying. They're going to try to deduct the tax, I think, for this year. But eventually they're going to have to go into it. But this is just not the season where you want to start getting into that, right? With everybody injured. So there'll be a lot more talk like that on this feed and on the Bluff City Media feed. So make sure you're following everything. There's a live show today going on. I think it actually started right now. And it's over on the YouTube for Bluff City Media. So if you care about the trade deadline that much, head on over there. They'll be talking about everything live with all the guests. So thanks for tuning in for this week for Cody and I, and we'll see you guys next week.